Hello, and welcome to Peter's Podcast, where we talk about real yoga, actual happiness, and deep living. Thanks for joining me. Natalie Roy is an actress, author, and spiritual teacher. She's performed and taught all over the world on stage and screen. She's also a 500-hour certified yoga teacher and a meditation teacher. Natalie brings together the practices and techniques of meditation, mindfulness, and learned optimism with the artistic process. She co-founded CREATE with her best friend Kristen Hange, a fellow teacher of spiritually based creative pursuits and the developer and director of the Broadway hit Rock of Ages. A student of mine, the marvelous performing artist Allison Jane, turned me on to the CREATE podcast, which I found very inspiring. I was delighted that Natalie could join me to talk about CREATE and about the parallels between yoga and creative life. I hope you enjoy our talk. Hi, Natalie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm so good. Thank you.
Yeah, it's so good to talk to you. Thanks for coming out to Crown Heights.
It's a pleasure. Yeah. I love Brooklyn.
Yeah, yeah. it's fun to get to talk with you in person. I learned about your podcast from one of my students who's in theater and music, and she said, you might like this. They're doing this thing on chakras. So I checked it out, and I'm a big fan.
And here we are.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the CREATE series and all of its branches.
Absolutely. So CREATE is I loosely call it a company. It's a community that was started by myself and my best friend, Kristen Hange. Kristen is a director and a writer, and she supports other people writing projects. And I'm an actress, and I also produce and I write as well. And so both of us were living these really creative lives. But we were noticing, we were noticing that as artists ourselves, we had certain spiritual things that would come up in the artistic process that were very similar between the two of us. And we thought, well, if we're sharing these things, surely other people are sharing these things.
They were coming up just in your own conversations.
In our own lives, in our own conversations, in our own creative process, in the process of trying to create anything new. You know, the insecurity, the doubt, the unworthiness, the competition, the jealousy, all these things.
Right.
And I was approaching dealing with these things in my own life from a yogic perspective because I'm a certified yoga teacher and I studied the sutras and the Gita and all these beautiful texts. And so my language was really trying to see the artistic process almost through the eight limb path of yoga. And Kristen was studying New Thought and modern metaphysics and all these other kind of modalities. And they just linked together really beautifully in every conversation we had.
Right.
So we thought, well, let's start doing some classes. Let's start offering this to artists. And we always say that everybody is an artist.
Right.
Being a human being is a creative process.
Right.
And so,
you know, Seth Godin.
Yeah,
he just said that exact same thing in a conversation with Krista Tippett. He said everyone's an artist now.
Everyone, every one of us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so we created this group called CREATE, which is community empowering. A community reclaiming every artist's true expression so that all of us are artists, all of us have an opportunity to live our art, whether it's how you set a table, how you raise a child, how you learn lines for a play, how you do a yoga pose. Everything is creative and artistic, and there's a level of support that we all need in being brave enough to live a creative life.
Yeah.
And so that's where we thought it would be better to do in community.
Yeah. I think everyone... I think not everyone has a pathway into knowing that that's a part of life. You know, I think we're often told that life is about finding the thing that makes you happy, and then when you get that, you're happy.
Right.
Whereas creative people, somehow because they're exploring inner worlds, can find that possibility a little easier, that there's something else to it. There's something else that I'm playing around with. In so many ways, I've found the art exploration and the yoga exploration totally parallel.
Completely.
And I've
experienced this exact same thing. And I often think we as human beings are so adaptable, which is this beautiful quality, but also a detrimental quality because the Natalie of 5 years ago would have said, oh my gosh, look at this life you're living, but I'm adapted to it. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't seem shiny and special and unique. Right. I'm just on to the next thing.
Right.
So all of us think we're chasing these things that will make us happy or give us fulfillment. But even when we get these things, at best we feel relief, not happiness. Yeah. And then we're on to the next thing. So it's almost like...
Because they don't make us happy.
They don't make us happy.
My teacher, Alan Finger, has this great saying that when you find something in the world that makes you happy, that kind of happiness lasts 3 seconds. Mm. You know, you get it. It's like, and then you're off to like, oh, but the shoes that would go with that would really make me happy.
Exactly.
You know, or whatever.
Exactly. So really, the process of creativity is a process of curiosity, mm-hmm. not attaining. Mm-hmm. It's more about fulfillment than success. Mm-hmm. It's not about getting something. It's about who you become in the going after something. Mm-hmm. And there's something about taking the pressure off of yourself as an actor, for myself, the pressure off booking the job or getting a role to make me happy, and just learning who I am through the process of understanding that character, going through that process, going through that rejection, or going through the getting of the thing. Mm-hmm. It changes me somehow. And can I be more curious about the change and transformation in myself than the result that I'm going after?
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So back to create. So you have a community.
So we have a beautiful community, all different types of artists. We have doctors and parents and musicians and writers and composers and actors. And we just started doing these classes once a week in New York City and really just renting a studio and seeing who would show up. And it was so exciting to watch the community grow. Yeah, just mm-hmm. anyone could come. We did different topics every week. We started teaching on the chakras and the creative process through the chakra system, which we've now turned into an online class. Mm. And now we do these kind of community jam sessions that are roundtables, opportunities for people to talk and share and give their experience, what they're going through. And then we offer from each of our perspectives the holistic or spiritual or yogic tools that could maybe help with wherever that process is. Mm-hmm. And then that led us to do a podcast together, which you mentioned, and doing, you know, retreats around the world. And just, you know, it's fun to create with your best friends. So you do all kinds of things together.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I know you have a Facebook group.
We do. It's the Create Community Facebook page, and it's the acronym. So C.R.E.A.T.E. Mm-hmm. I think there's another Create Community, but without the dots. So yes. We're the one with the dots. And that's a really fun place because it's just a place where artists can post quotes or stories or here's what I'm struggling with today or does anyone have a book recommendation for this? So what becomes really interesting is there's just this opportunity of a safe place to share of mm-hmm. people that understand you. Mm-hmm. One thing that I experienced as a young artist in my 20s was feeling so jealous of other artists that it was creating this separation between the very people who understood better than, you know, many of us didn't grow up in households that said, yeah, being an artist is a great idea. Go for that. Yeah. Many of us grow up in households that say, be a teacher, be a doctor, be lawyer, something that makes money.
Yes.
You know, there's this starving artist fear mentality. Mm-hmm. And so it's important that we collaborate with other people who understand really the process.
Yeah. I mean, that's what brought me to New York. I grew up in Washington, and it's a company town for the government. So everybody's in that business. They're policymakers, they're lawyers, they're experts in so many interesting things, and they like the arts. So many people love the arts, but the artist community is just not there, not supported. It's not a normal thing to be.
Right.
And so I spent some time in LA and then some time here, and it's like night and day. You know, it's like my people.
Yeah. And New York has the amazing thing, you know, when we talk about the chakra system, we talk about the lines of energy that run along the Sushumna Nadi, that I like to think of it as kind of the masculine and feminine energy. Mm-hmm. And New York, yeah. And, and New York has this interesting duality where New York is very male. It's very passionate and driven and exciting and creative and go, go, go and fire. And it's also receptive and open and kind of the place where dreams can come true, mm-hmm. which feels very feminine to me and open-hearted and watery. Mm-hmm. So there is something about being in a place like this that can be incredibly overstimulating, yeah. but it can also be in a good way.
Yeah, yeah. We talk about it a lot at Ishta in terms of Ayurveda. So it's a very vata place.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a pitta component in the drive and all of that. So
exactly.
Yeah. Like I know so many people in my family who show up here and they're like, oh my God, I could never live here.
Exactly.
Because it's too much of that mm-hmm. frenetic energy.
Yeah.
But yeah. Well, cool. So when you are doing retreats and classes and workshops, are you primarily talking with artists? Are those the kinds of people who are gravitating to the group? Or are you finding just like a notion of the spirituality part is pulling other kinds of people as well?
Well, I'm sure that you'll even find this with the offerings that you do, but it's like always the perfect people find it. Yeah, they, yeah. You know, and sometimes people say, I have no idea why I'm here.
Right.
And then by the end of the weekend or the class, it becomes very obvious. Oh, I really needed this. This yeah. spoke to me in a specific way. So I always think that there's these, you know, as Joseph Campbell describes it, the invisible hands that are always, you know, pointing you in the right direction. And
yeah.
I think many times when people are open enough and brave enough to say, I feel led here, I don't know why, but I'll take a chance and go, no matter what your chosen vocation is, you'll find yourself in the right place. It is my belief that we are all artists, and it's so important that we don't create any separation between, do I do it as an amateur or as a hobby or professionally?
Mm-hmm.
You are an artist because you our creative energy.
Yeah.
And your creative energy is always expressing itself. With every thought you think, you mm-hmm. are expressing an element of creativity by saying, do I believe that thought or not?
Mm-hmm.
You're always expressing your power to choose and to create something new if it's not what you want. And so really, it's empowering anybody wherever they are on their path. If you want to create a painting, that's one way of an artistic expression. If you want to learn a new way to communicate with your romantic partner, that's another area mm-hmm. of creative expression.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love about yoga, is it's obviously not just about poses, even if there's for some people an understanding that yoga is going to a yoga class and doing poses. But I always think about yoga that the pose doesn't actually exist until the animating spirit steps into the pose,
mm-hmm.
and the animated spirit is your creativity expressing itself through that pose.
Yeah.
So all of us could do the same pose, and it's going to be a completely different expression,
mm-hmm.
and it's supposed to be.
Right.
So all of us can step into anything we want to step into in our life, and it'll have our unique fingerprint, our unique expression.
Yeah.
So really, I think much of what we teach is giving people permission to be different, to be unique,
mm-hmm.
to say yes to what they want,
mm-hmm.
and to know that if you want it, then mm-hmm. it means the universal forces, the source of love, cosmic consciousness, also wants it for you.
Mm-hmm.
We love to say that desire is life asking for itself, that if you feel a desire to do something or to be something, that's the evidence that that's the thing to do.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
the desire of it.
Yeah, it's so interesting that you bring that up. That was something I spoke about a lot this week in meditation class, this, you know, the second chakra desire and meditating on things and feeling things in heart in relation to what your life is. And a question came up from students like, you know, how do you know whether what I want is the right thing, you know? And there's trickiness around that because, you know, lots of people who come out of acting class in high school want to be actors in New York, but not all of them are, that can't be everybody's destiny, right? There's some karmic thing that goes on, and you're figuring out, like, what is your creative expression of that desire?
Yeah.
And it may not be the thing that you've got your picture in your mind.
Right. It's almost like always a thing of detaching from the form of the thing,
mm-hmm.
right? So I love in, you know, Samkhya philosophy, when we talk about the Purusha and Prakriti, that we are spirit and we are form. We
mm-hmm.
are this dual thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really cool thing to exist as and try to understand ourselves as. And it's as long as you're leading with the spirit, with the animating force, with that creative spark, that would be saying, I feel called to be an artist. I feel called to go to New York. I feel called to take this acting class. I feel called to do this. But if you're attached to the form of so that then I can win an Oscar, so that then I can do this or that role.
Yeah.
So many times I find myself saying, oh, if I could only do a role like this, oh, this would be amazing. And then maybe you get the audition for that exact role and you know, oh, this is my opportunity to practice detachment. This is my opportunity to celebrate the opportunity to be in the energy of the thing that I love and am excited about. And the getting of it is none of my business. Mm-hmm. The hows are not my job. Mm-hmm. The results are not my job. Right. I think it's in the Bhagavad Gita that they say, entitled to the your actions, but not the fruits of your actions.
Yeah.
So if you are moving from a place of love for being an artist, then you might end up in New York, or you might end up in Utah, or you might end up in Rome. But if you continue to follow the essence and the energy of the thing that you love, rather than saying, I want to do it exactly like this, exactly this way, that's where I think we get into a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also super hard when you're trying to figure out, okay, so then what am I doing to make a living, and how do I arrange all of that and still keep that thing going? And I think that, I don't know if it's because of the way stories get told through the news media and whatnot, that there's such a structure of, well, you're either that, and you mentioned it earlier, professional or not professional, these artificial lines, but I think that gets in a lot of people's way.
Totally. And, you know, I can speak to it from an actor's perspective. Some people say, well, if you're not booking a job, then are you really an actor? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course I'm an actor. If I get up and, you know, look at a script, I'm an actor. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not delineated by success, right? It's different where people could say, well, you're defined as a dentist if you go and work on someone's teeth.
Right.
You're defined as a creative artist if you're doing the thing, but it's different. Mm-hmm. If you're in a relationship with your creativity, then you are activating the artist inside of you, but you're that artist no matter what you do. And it's interesting because so many people say, I'm contemplating giving up on my dream. And I just love to say, but it's impossible because your dream's not going to give up on you. It's going to keep on knocking, keep on nagging. You're going to keep on thinking about it.
Yeah.
Trust me, it would be harder to give it up than just to surrender to it. Now, what does surrendering to it look like?
Looks like? Yeah.
The different forms. So, of course, I'm living a life as a creative artist, and my passion when I was a kid was doing plays in my grandmother's basement. Well, my passion as an artist now is doing film and television. But also I found this beautiful creative spark in teaching and speaking and writing and producing. And when you allow it to extend outside of your illusion or what you think it's supposed to be, it can actually delight you. And isn't kind of the dream to say, I could make money doing what I love. And when you keep the channel wide open of doing what I love is very broad, then there's many, many opportunities for you to create an amazing life doing what you love if you're not attached to it coming through only one avenue, one source.
Right. And I think also not worrying about whether the thing that you love is the way that you make money, that opens up an even bigger spectrum of ways to live. One of a teacher I know puts together for people as a consultant like a cocktail of their work life. You know, like you like to do this, and but you also like to do this and
splash of this.
But you need this in order to make enough money. So like this is your situation. Right.
Like, I love,
does that work?
Exactly. Elizabeth Gilbert, who I love, who wrote this great book called Big Magic, among many other books, she talks about, and I'm going to paraphrase it, of course, but she talks about not putting pressure on your dream because you are here in service of your dream. It isn't here in service of you.
Yeah.
So if I'm saying to my career, my acting career, my dreams, my visions of being a creative artist, you have to pay my bills this month. You have to do this for me. You have to make me feel safe. It almost feels like if that was a human being I was in a relationship with, that person would eventually say, you're too high drama. You're too much pressure on me. I don't want to be with you.
Yeah.
And then we wonder why our dreams feel like always they're far away.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to say,
we're not really loving them, which is another thing she says.
Yeah.
You know, fall in love with your creativity.
Right. And know that every job has, as she says, the shit sandwich. Mm-hmm. Every job has the stuff that comes along with it that's not the best.
Mm-hmm.
And you just decide, do I love the job enough to deal with the stuff that's not the best, knowing that any other job I go to, it's going to have stuff that's not the best also.
Right.
And can I show up and say, how can I be of service to you? You know, this dream, this creative spark, what do you want me to do for you today?
Mm-hmm.
That changes. We no longer have a requirement-based relationship with our creativity where we're trying to get something. We're here to give. We're here to be of service.
Yeah.
And then we get to be in relationship with this thing from our place of unconditional love for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. And now a word about our sponsors, you. Do you tip your local cafe counter help? I paid attention this month. I dropped about $5 to those college kids for taking my orders and punching my coffee cards. Does Peter's podcast provide you that much value? If so, how about heading to patreon.com to support this podcast? And thank you to all of you who are making this podcast possible already. One of the things that I really appreciate about your podcast is that you obviously have this yoga background, and yet you're drawing on a lot of other thought, you know, some, and you said Kristen has a background in some other things, other philosophers and self-help kinds of things. I early on did the Course in Miracles. It was back in the day when Marianne Williamson was beginning to do her church services in LA. And I was reading the Course in Miracles and studying Paramahansa Yogananda's stuff at his ashram in LA. And I would just go to church at Marianne's thing, you know. And so that was a huge part of sort of merging two different schools of thought together, but you guys are very fluent at pulling from lots of different sources.
Oh,
what's that feel like? Like, where did that come from?
Well, I always think that what it feels to me is that everything is one.
Yeah.
And
all
so
the same stuff.
I just know that I'm not the best voice or teacher for everyone. And I know that everyone's not the best voice or teacher for me. I know Kristen and I could say the exact same words to the exact same person and they'll go, the way Kristen said that just blew my mind, right? And so I do know that different voices, different words, different, you know, they say that the reorganization of old information is new information because you hear it differently. So I just knowing that and know that my job is just to continue activating my own curiosity about the meaning of all of this and how I fit into it and how I can activate joy in my life and my creative process. For me, it's so powerful to just be a sponge to every possible source. Even if I think, I don't think that's for me. You got to try it on. You got to accept before you reject. You got to just at least be open to the idea. And what I've noticed is as you just listen to or read from so many different sources, it'll drop like rain and you'll just say, oh, it's all the same. It's all water.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. A lot of times I'm on the other side of that where it's like, oh, this is the same thing, you know?
Right.
And so I don't want to read this again.
Right.
So I find that I'm, like selective is the wrong word, but only a few things hit me in a way that I want to spend some time with them.
Sure.
Your podcast being one of them.
Oh,
so
thank
namaste.
You. That's such a gift.
Yeah. So that was really cool. But I'm hearing, you know, about certain things that you're mentioning and going, well, maybe I should take a look at that person again or whatever. But, you know, Gilbert,
Elizabeth Gilbert.
Elizabeth, thank you. You know, her stuff really rang true to me. That was very much fun to read.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I do love the classic yoga books.
So too. Good.
So
even the sutras, there's just like that poetry is just.
Yeah. And incredible. Wendy, my wife, just finished a 5-year project working with Alan Finger on a, interpretation/translation of the sutras from a tantra perspective. So it's,
oh, I can't wait to get my hands on that.
It's a beautiful book about, you know, not just how do you go to that samadhi place, but then what does it mean to weave that back into living? You know, how do you live as though this is also a divine space?
And it is,
right?
You know, because we're in it and we're divine. Right. So we want to never forget who we are and where we came from.
Yeah.
And how we can activate that here.
It's so interesting to me. I sometimes feel like a broken record because I'm saying that so many times, like as preamble to a meditation practice or something. And yet we need to hear it so much because the world is so persistent at pulling us away from that notion and making us seem small.
It's incredible because if we actually really followed our thoughts, and something that Esther Hicks said that I really loved is she said, the thought itself isn't important. It was who you were before the thought arrived, because the state of being you were in was the thing that allowed that thought to enter. So don't worry so much about the negative thought, but who were you being that allowed that thought to enter your space? It probably wasn't loving to yourself. Well, why? What was going on there? You know? And Tony Robbins talks in his book of mastery about wealth management, he talks about a similar thing. He says our brain is 2 million years old. And so if you actually tracked the thoughts you have, they're not actually yours. They're the same thoughts of someone trying to run away from a tiger. They're the same thoughts of someone in the Great Depression. They're the same thoughts of all of this history and conditioning. So if you actually said which thoughts are actually mine, probably none of them. It's all influence. And so the thing that is actually you is the emptiness.
Yeah, the awareness.
The awareness, the mindfulness that's the absence of all that thought and all that chaos. It's the inner knowing. It's the peace. It's the grace that is the quiet.
But boy, is that something that's difficult for people to get their heads around.
Oh, man.
You know, to take a moment and say, wait, this isn't me?
Yeah.
You know, all these characteristics aren't me. All these things I'm striving for, that's not me.
Even my identity, that's not me.
About?
My values, then, my preferences, that's not me either.
Yeah, I forget that.
Yeah.
That's really challenging.
It's it's really challenging and it's liberating.
Yeah.
Because we can so often feel, oh, I have so much stuff. Oh, no matter how many books I read or classes I take, I never change. I just always do the same thing. And it's like, yeah, and you've been conditioned to do that. So you're being a real good boy or good girl or good human by, you know, perpetuating exactly what you've been taught to do.
Right.
And there's freedom in saying, it's not that I'm doing anything wrong. I just didn't see that there was another option. And my job isn't to now perfectly execute the other option. My job is just to continue to remind myself, oh, there's something else there. Just remind myself it's there. And I don't have to do anything about it, but just be a witness to it. And for me, just that distance gives me the ability to move out of constantly being a reactor to life to becoming a creator in life. Because if I'm always reacting to stimulus, then I'm not actively creating what I want. I'm just reacting to what's being thrown at me. And for me, truly becoming a powerful creator has nothing to do with writing a song or writing a script or winning an Oscar. Truly being a creator is saying, I am at every moment with my thoughts, my actions, my words, my feelings. I am choosing reality. Let me consciously choose my reality instead of being a reactor to reality. And I think when we do that, we really elevate and activate the source of creative energy inside of us. That's the same that created the universe. And then we have infinite potential to create whatever we want. And so if you want to create a beautiful dinner, if you want to create a child, if you want to create a podcast, you can do that. And it's just that constant remembering of who you really are to activate that.
Right. And to stay in the moment as you then pursue that is living. Right. It's like sometimes people go, well, wait, if I give up, then, you know, then I'm giving into fate or I'm not doing what the good fight and all of that kind of stuff. But like in each moment, what is the good fight will present itself to you.
Exactly. So you may it's a creative process. It's always changing. It's a process. That's exactly. What's amazing. You can meet yourself at every moment and say, oh my gosh, I'm totally different mm-hmm. than 2 moments ago. Mm-hmm. And that's the gift.
Yeah.
That we never actually have to feel stuck.
Yeah. And to call it a gift is quite a beautiful thing too, because if we were to look at ourselves as that is a gift, just being here in this moment and doing what's in front of me is a great gift, you know, to be able to have that experience is the gift of life.
Yeah.
You know, and we can have all our dreams and think all these great things are going to happen and then I'll be happy. But just to be able to be doing this. And so many people, they're like, oh yeah, I know. I mean, if I thought about like how much I have compared to somebody else, but we don't think that so often, you know?
Right. Right. We're so trained to think about what needs improvement.
Yeah.
And we trick ourselves into thinking that's what motivates us. Mm-hmm. But we don't need motivation. We're human beings. Mm-hmm. We're curious. Mm-hmm. And curiosity is a motivating factor. When you're a kid and you want to know what something is, nothing will stop you.
Yeah.
Right? So you don't have to punish yourself into being motivated.
Yeah.
You can just activate, I just want to know about things.
Right.
I'm just curious. I want to see something I've never seen. I want to do something I've never done. I want to look at this person for the first time. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to move against this law of familiarity. We want to move into this space where you can look at your romantic partner every day and say, this is a totally new person. Mm-hmm. Their cells have changed overnight. Who is this? I get to be with this. What does it look like? What's it doing? How's it moving? And I really think if we can activate that childlike curiosity, I mean, children just live in joy. When a baby laughs, that is pure joy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not something it accomplished because it made enough money.
Right.
It just is what it is.
Right.
And that's how we came in.
Yeah.
And so we have access to that. And it's just the remembering. And what I love is even when you're learning a new language, they say that you will forget a word 6 times before you know it.
Hmm.
And it gives me permission to say, well, if that's just learning a new language and I'm learning a new spiritual language, then allow myself to forget as many times as I need to forget, not because it's a mistake, but because that's how it's integrating so I can actually know it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Wayne Dyer, he was on a TV show that Wendy and I were watching once, and he described this, like, that exact thing you just described. He says, it's like you're walking in a neighborhood and there's a hole in the sidewalk, and you fall in the hole, right? And then the next time you're walking in the neighborhood, you're like, oh, I have to remember there's that hole up ahead. And then you don't, and then you fall in the hole.
Fall in.
And it's like around and around and around, and all these times before it's like you're conscious of it while it's going on. And that is the spiral of our growth.
Yeah, you know? And I think the only mistake we make is every time we fall in the hole, we just punish
blame
and shame
ourselves.
And blame and what's wrong with me.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, you are in a creative process and you're doing exactly what you're supposed to do to grow and evolve.
Mm-hmm.
So see if you can enjoy it. And how does your perception change when you see all the falls as for you?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what life is about.
That's
how
life
works. Everyone is doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, the whole media landscape of our modern age presents this false picture of what life is. You know, look at this on Instagram or look at this on whatever, and look how happy you could be if you were what?
Right.
You know, like as though these people don't like have their moments
right
after the picture.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So, yeah, I mean, it's like the permission to have emotion, the permission to be upset, the permission to feel like you didn't do it right, and then to do it anyway, to carry on, to practice. It's a practice. It's a sadhana.
Exactly. Yeah, the great illusion is that you have to be a master in order to do it.
Yeah.
But the reality of it is you got to be willing to fail so you can do it.
Yeah.
Because the failure is what creates the growth. So we can't even call it a failure. It's truly just the process.
It's just what is.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, along the way somewhere, somebody, probably some theater person, said, you know, life is not a dress rehearsal. And that was just so impactful on my thoughts about things. Like, oh, wait, this is the time. This is the time, you know?
Yeah.
And that was incredibly freeing, like you say. You know, it's like, okay, I just better start doing it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, powerful stuff.
So good.
Oh, hey, pick up the phone. I forgot to say something. Are you there? I hope you're enjoying my conversation with Natalie Roy. We'll be right back. If you like Peter's podcast, please rate it. You can do that on your iPhone just by scrolling down from the screen you're listening on and clicking one of the stars. The best way, though, is to just tell somebody else, hey, have you heard this podcast? Thanks so very much, and support me on Patreon, too. Here we go, back to Natalie Roy.
Yeah, and ever unfolding, and we can, it's never finished.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a great thing. I'm so happy I'm never going to master it, you know, because then that's when the boredom and the stuckness sets in.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know that life would ever even let you get to that place.
Never. It loves us too much.
Crazy challenge.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting to sort of walk past challenge, like to try to take that construct out of the way that you live. And I think in my own life, it's come about in trying to take the things that happen, even little mundane things, as not a problem.
Yeah.
You know, Byron Katie has this thing. I don't know if you know her.
Yeah, she, very well.
You know, that, but that, like, anything that upsets you, you know, that's not supposed to be, you know, is that true?
Exactly.
Because it's there.
Is it really true? Yes.
I mean, it's there. So clearly it's got some supposed to be, you know?
Yeah.
And so I've just been trying more and more and more to take that even... And the place it's hardest for me, I think, is when someone else is doing something that as a teacher, I feel like, you know, there's a way out of that, but to be dealing with my own emotions around them having that problem
Yes.
has been my latest challenge.
Yes. Something I've been working with a lot lately is thinking about my connection with what I consider divine or my higher source or my best self, or cosmic consciousness, or divine source of love, what word feels comfortable for people, but the grander energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to myself, I have that connection, and so does everybody mm-hmm. else. And whenever I go in and try to fix, or think I know better, or give my opinion too much, or try to save,
yeah,
then ultimately I'm actually impeding their growth process with their own higher power.
Mm-hmm.
And I only know what I came to learn at best. And oftentimes I don't know what I'm here to learn. And I have to really ask that question. What am I here to learn again? Why am I here? What's this whole thing about? Yeah. So why I would assume that I have the scrolls on why anyone else right. is here and what they're meant to learn, perhaps... For an example, I'm watching someone go through a difficult addiction process, and I just want to say, do this tool or go yeah. this way or take this path. I don't want you to hurt anymore. But perhaps what they're here to learn is the process that they are in.
Mm-hmm.
And me trying to change that on their behalf is going to somehow get in the way of that learning.
Yeah.
Rather than saying, I see you and I know that you have the answers to this. And any way I can help you activate your own answers, let mm-hmm. me be a vessel for that.
Mm-hmm.
But let me not give you my answer.
Right.
Because while at the same time I'm hindering your growth, I'm hindering my own because right. I've now not given myself whatever I'm supposed to be giving myself
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, and who knows what you're gaining from being in that strain, right?
Right, right. You know?
There's something that's supposed to be coming from that to you. And
right.
I mean, we need no better example than what's going on this week in politics,
right?
Like it's so easy to get so upset about so many things that are going on. But there's a reason that all of that is going on, and it has to do with our own ability to be in this moment, to deal with it creatively, to be seeing ourselves as participating in this grand drama.
Yes.
I mean, we're all actors.
Yes, absolutely. You know?
And to be in this drama and play our role and not try to direct the play.
Yes, and such beautiful lessons in how we process emotion, how we sit in discomfort, how we understand human nature, how we have instincts to move to separation when we feel discomfort, and is there a calling for oneness that can be greater? All of these questions, and none of us in our pain body know the answer. Mm-hmm. And our job is to just continue to be present every day with what's being presented and see where it moves and see what moves in us.
Yeah, and maybe that comes full circle to where I was trying to go with this parallel between the art and the yoga, that a lot of times that whole milieu of the reaction to things is rich fodder for the artistic process. So artists get a chance to sort of muck into that mm-hmm. stuff and try to figure out through their, whatever their medium is, you know, what, like writing a story
yes.
that has a different solution in
yes.
it, or working on some art where you're just playing on even more abstract notions of visual art piece, or a
yeah.
play, or plunging into what would I be doing if I were this character
yes.
as an actor.
It's so vital for me that artists and creators have spiritual, mental, emotional, physical health, because I do believe that art is the healing connective tissue of the whole design.
Mm.
And there's been this lie, I believe, and it's my opinion, but this struggling artist, the addicted artist, the, you know, that if you get rid of all your angst, then you won't have anything to
right,
offer.
Right.
But for me, the cleaner the vessel, the more open-hearted you are, then the more you can use your art, your creativity as service.
Yeah.
When it's about your angst and your drama, then it's about you
mm-hmm.
and an expression of you that perhaps will relate to someone else in the world. But if it truly wants to be something that's here to heal and to move the conversation and move the evolution,
mm-hmm.
it must be in community.
Mm.
It must not ever be about the one, but the one capital O.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if in the art world in general, and I mean, I say I wonder, but I'm already seeing it in some places, if the focus of art will be more and more and more as we're growing as a society, spiritually and consciously, if it won't be more and more about, like, the, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, I've always felt that there's a universal component in really good pieces of work.
Yeah.
That the artist, it was individual for that person. It was totally true. And so many people can relate to
universal,
that.
Exactly.
And I'm wondering, because for so many years, that's been about, I don't know what you might call, very emotional or very conditional kinds of things. And I'm wondering if more and more things that might have seemed Pollyanna-ish won't seem that way in the future.
Right, absolutely.
That there'll be more of radiant kinds of topics that are the things that are touching us in people's art.
I hope that's true, and I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I do think that we've all incarnated here for
mm-hmm.
this moment.
Mm-hmm.
So as painful as it may feel sometimes, as confusing as it may feel sometimes, we chose it on some
yeah.
level. And so how can we be creative in seeing our choosing of this?
Yeah.
Because we also see, if I chose to be here, I must be part of the solution.
Mm-hmm.
And so how can I seek that?
Yeah.
And my favorite prayer is show me.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite prayer isn't give me this or
right.
can I have this or you know, what can we do about
petitioning.
This? Right. Mm-hmm. It's the prayer of show me what I can't see. Mm-hmm. Show me what I can do. Show me where you want me to go.
Right.
You know, and that for me feels very empowering because it keeps my eyes open to life. It just feels like instead of being the person on their cell phone walking down the street with your head down, your head is up, your heart is open, your eyes are looking out, and you're constantly looking for where is that charm I'm meant to follow? Where's mm-hmm. that one next right action? I don't have to know the whole thing, just that one next step, and it will be revealed to me if I keep my eyes open.
Right. Yeah. And if you give up notions of scale about what those things have to be, I think that's a tremendous clearing off of your windscreen, you know?
Yeah, because like often...
It's whatever it is, it might be some gigantic thing. It might be helping the person who just dropped their book in front of you.
Exactly. And so often we do get the next step, but we don't like it. Mm-hmm. So we go, give me another next step. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you don't get the next step until you do the step in front of you.
Right. I think I heard you mention that on one of your podcasts about like you only get that step that's coming, you know?
Yeah.
You might have a goal down the road, but... The goal is something that you present as a, like literally, I'm just going to go in that direction, but I have no idea if I'm going to end up there.
Yeah, you shoot the arrow in that direction towards the bullseye, and you keep the bullseye there so you remind yourself why you're walking your path, but the path is never linear. Mm-hmm. And sometimes things along the path can come and surprise and delight you, and then by the time you... are on a different path, you're saying, who cares about that bullseye? This new path is so amazing.
Right,
know? And that's, again, the activating of the curiosity, activating of creativity is the thing that hasn't been yet. Mm-hmm. Everything else is just what we already know. Mm-hmm. And if we can find that boring, if we can find what we already know, like, been there, done that.
Right.
What do I not know? What's the beginner's mind here?
Right.
That's the interest. It's like going to the mat as if you've never done a yoga practice before.
Yeah.
Because my body has never stepped into these poses before in this moment.
Right.
So let everything be new. Let me be curious about the newness and let that curiosity and wonder and awe of life begin to spark new action steps. So I start actually asking different, more empowering questions so my life can reveal different empowering answers.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the scale there is interesting too, because as a creative person, the difference might be something very, very small, but yet your curiosity brought you there. Like I think it's Robert Ryman painted paintings that were primarily white.
Mm.
And yet... they're all different.
Yeah.
Even though they're all the same size and they're all white.
Yeah.
There's something that brought him back to that canvas one more time for some slight difference. And then there are other people who are writing a book this year and then they're doing a play next year and then they're a recording artist the next year and on and on and on.
And creativity has its own...
it's a
way.
Yeah.
You know, I always talk about the inner muse, dancing with the inner muse, letting her lead you, seeing what she wants to do today.
Yeah.
How can I be of service to you? I'm just excited to go on this journey. It's, it's like someone planned a vacation for you and you get to just show up and see where it goes.
Right.
You know,
and while you're on it, we'll suspend time and we'll take everything else that's around you and make it go away.
Yeah.
So you're just in this.
And I do think, you know, maybe people listening are saying, well, that's all nice in theory, but I got to go to work, I got to pay my bills. And yes, but could you bring a new perception to even those things that feel tight or difficult or like work? You know, certainly every day of my life, every moment of my life isn't free of those obstacles or those things that I don't feel like doing. I still pay my taxes, I still send emails, I still do all these things. But it's the thing of how can I bring curiosity and an understanding that even all of these things I'm doing are for me. And if I choose to perceive it that way, then my relationship with it will be different.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Cool, cool, cool.
So good.
Yeah. Great stuff.
So good.
Well, it's been a delight to meet with you and
have a chat.
Thank you.
It's been awesome. Yeah. And I'm so grateful for the work you're doing all of the people you're reaching and the beautiful wisdom you're bringing. And it's just been a delight to connect to your eyeballs.
Yay. Likewise.
Thank you.
All right. Namaste.
Namaste.
That's our episode. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Natalie Roy as much as I did. Please stay in touch with me on patreon.com, where you can support the podcast, ask questions, or just drop me a line. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Instagram or on Twitter, where my name is Peter Furco. Thanks a lot. Have a wonderful week. Namaste.